You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Hey, welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. As you know, we're all about talking about dispatch and everything associated with dispatch. And so if we're talking about it, hopefully you are too. We've got our regular cast of characters here. We got Joe there representing not the winning team, but the second team.
I do not like Leslie's hat at all.
Oh my God.
So it's gonna roll like that. We've got Glenna. Do you have anything negative to say about our head here?
Negative. No, I'm a Cubs fan, remember? So no, I don't have anything.
Man,
no.
You're way out.
Yeah. And then Doug, what about you? How about those professional tennis?
So yeah. I like minor league baseball. So it's much better and much cheaper and easier to get to. So
all right. The big leagues got it. Okay.
No, it's okay. Well, we knew that about him. And then we have our guest today, Julie. Yay. So a little bit, and I'll have Julie introduce herself in a second, but she reached out to us as anybody can. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to be a guest, please reach out to us like Julie did. But, you know, we've had a lot of podcasts that have talked about scheduling and staffing and just the challenges that are facing dispatch centers across the country. And Julie is going to share with us all of the great things that are happening at her center. She mentioned that she was, you know, from zero to hero in a very short amount of time. So Julie, tell us a little bit about you and
she's going to make us all feel bad now, because it's like, I'm fully staffed. You're not.
Definitely not a hero. Just, you know, I am operations manager at Sacramento Regional Fire EMS Communications Center. I've been with the agency for a little over 20 years. And like so many other agencies, we've really struggled with staffing. In 2021, we were down somewhere just over 20 dispatchers. And in the last couple of years, last year we took 222,000 911 calls and dispatched 246,000 incidents. So we had some absenteeism and, you know, issues that are related to low morale and people being overworked, lots of overtime, you know, literally hundreds of hours of overtime every month. And here we are 2 years later, and we are budgeted for 38 dispatchers, and we currently have 40.
And good job.
So the other ones don't get paid, they just show up.
they just show up.
Check.
You know,
that is awesome.
It's been a challenge, and I'm so thankful. I have a team that's really strong, and they have made miracles happen in the last 2 years, and we're on a road that, you know, hopefully we can continue on and keep growing. Our call volume, as you know, probably continues to grow 5% a year. And, you know, the 4th of July period, we grew 9% a year. And so, you know, just trying to hit those.
So did you guys lower your standards then? Is that you just lowered your standards? We'll take anybody now. I don't care.
Well, that's the rumor. If you ask some people, we did accelerate our hiring processes quite a bit. We used to weed out a lot of people. So we've sort of changed where we select people. We had an HR manager that would go through the applications, pick people to do phone interviews with. And currently we leverage Indeed and use their typing assessment and a recorded phone interview. And we send everybody who does those two things with an application, they have to be proficient level or higher in typing. And everybody from there gets a critical link to take the critical test. And then we bring them in for an interview when they pass critical. So we've really just stopped basing our selection on a piece of paper, an application, and are trying to just get as many people as we can through the process.
Wow. It sounds so simple, and I bet people are thinking, that's it? That's all you've done? But I mean, how awesome is that? Because clearly it's been working. So, you know, what are some of those other things that
let's start at the beginning. Did you guys change like recruitment? Did you recruit people? How do you get them?
Actually, we do very little recruiting. We advertise on Indeed, and That's where we get all of our applicants from. Every once in a while, we'll get one on our website, but for the most part, they all come through Indeed. And we actually sort of learned that by accident a few years ago. We had an academy and we asked them, okay, where did you guys hear about the job? And even though we weren't advertising on Indeed at the time, they got the job from Indeed. So Indeed had pushed it out. And it was an entire academy that came to us through Indeed, and we had not done anything with Indeed at that point. Indeed. So,
really, when it comes to Critical, since it's a web link, and I'm guessing a lot of people in 911 centers use Critical as their pre-employment dispatch entrance exam, how long do you give people to take it? And if somebody says they don't have internet access at home, do you offer a place they can come take it or not?
We do. They can come into our training building and take it there. And I believe the link is live for 1 week.
Live for 1 week?
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
And then we've only had one person that presumably cheated electronically and scored way too high. And our thought process has always been they'll sort of weed themselves out in the process. Or if we think that they're not, they're cheating or whatever, we can bring them in and have them take it again. So
at the center. Really? Yep. And that's taught to you actually. Yeah. That's awesome that you guys do that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this phone interview that they do, and are they talking to the HR person at that time, or is that with somebody from your center?
Before they used to, but now it's a recorded interview on Indeed. They have a couple of stock questions, and it's just basically, can you listen to the question and answer appropriately?
So it's not even somebody necessarily from your agency that is having to spend time doing this. This is... Okay.
Well, we do bring them in for a regular interview later.
But, sure.
Yeah.
So
go ahead. Yeah, we've all got so many questions.
I know. I'm blown away.
How long does the total process take? So you got a typing test, and then you got the Critical, and then you got the recorded phone call, and then you got an in-person interview. From the time they start the typing test, we'll call that day one, until they get a job offer. How long is that time period?
So interviews, that was one of the other things we did. Oftentimes we would pick the interview panel and then have to go back and figure out a date that worked for everybody. So we planned out several months ahead and said once a month we're going to do an interview panel. And regardless of how many candidates we had that day planned out. Mm. So it might have been 4 interviews or it might be 14. And we just held to that schedule for simplicity's sake. And so I would say from when they put their application in until we can, get them through that interview could be less than a month. And that's one of the, public agency issues. But we're also a standalone agency. We're a JPA. So we don't have to conform to necessarily like a city or a county set of standards and rules. So it's a little bit different.
But you're county fire, right?
We dispatch for 10 different fire agencies, so we are a standalone agency with 4 governing, we have a board of directors with a member from each of the 4 primary fire agencies and then 6 volunteer agencies.
A month.
So yeah, that's amazing. I'm curious, how have you seen a different workforce come through as a result of these changes with your recruiting and how you process it? Are you getting young, just out of high school, college type people? Are you finding that you're getting people, this is their second career, or they're trying something new? What's that
look like? I would say yes. Across
the board. All of it.
The majority lean to the younger side, but we have pretty much a wide range of demographics represented.
Wow. That's nice. What about, so this has only been going on for 2 years, right?
Yes. And then the other pivotal piece that we changed is once we bring them in, they're in an academy. And then we switched, instead of one-on-one training, we put them in a pod. So they're 3 trainees to 1 trainer. They're actually separated physically off the dispatch floor in a separate room. And we find that allows them to have community, learn from each other, and I'm not sure how many of you have been on the dispatch floor, but, sometimes you're afraid to ask a question when everybody is listening. You think, I should probably know the answer to this. So I think it gives them a little bit of a buffer and a chance to ask those questions and not feel judged, or, they just have
Does that mean that one CTO does three DORs a day?
Yes, they're pretty abbreviated. They just try to do a couple personal notes on each person. And then, you know, generally speaking, everybody else is learning the same things because they're learning from each other. At onset, they have one person in the hot seat. So that person will answer for whatever the duration is, like an hour at a time, and then they'll rotate. So they're all experiencing it. They're all monitoring the calls. They're looking at what's going in the CAD. It's projected on a screen on the wall. So it's, you know, I'm sure for some people who learn faster, it might be a little frustrating for them to have to be held to this slower standard, but it's working for us. And, you know,
I'm sure everybody's going to ask eventually, what's the retention? Once this goes past 2 years and we start getting into 5, 7 years, what's the retention going to be of these people that were expedited into training and sent this thing?
Well, I don't know. You know, I heard, I think at APCO recently, that the lifespan of a dispatcher is 3 years, which when I started, it was 7 years. So when you have a 2-year training process, you know, you just try to get.
Leslie, you and I are screwed then, because we'd both get 30. So it's 30, like.
But I'm just fascinated by this approach. And, you know, you saying it, it makes such sense, because think about how, and, you know, I'm not equating trainees with children, but think about how learning takes place in schools. You know, you're not sitting in rows in your own seat. They're in pods like that. And I just think, man, that really, it makes so much sense, because you're allowing people to learn from others, like you're talking about, and know that instead of having to sit in the hot seat for 8, 10, 12 hours of their shift, that, you know, they really are getting that break that they need through training while still being a part of the training process. That's brilliant. Yeah. I'm curious, where did this come from? Who said, hey, let's try this?
Julie did it. Julie did the whole thing.
Look at her. She's like, no.
I cannot take credit for the idea. I can take credit for tromping through the woods and just saying, we're going to continue on this path. And, right. You know, having a great team of people who, and don't get me wrong, they don't blindly follow me, but they definitely understand the value in changing some of our processes. I mean, things were not working, clearly.
Sure.
You have to keep trying different things until you find something that does work.
How many total dispatchers do you have? Because some agencies probably don't hire the three people at a time. So how many total dispatchers do you have? Just so people listening to this podcast kind of can put in that into perspective.
We have 40 total right now and 7 supervisors.
Yep.
So we have 4 floor supervisors, 3 administrative supervisors. And really, we should have more dispatchers than that, and we'll get there. But it's hard to ask for more positions when you don't have the ones that you already budgeted for full.
Sure.
So we're at that point now where we're starting that trajectory towards growth.
You said that to me for 40 people, so I do apologize, but I was just trying to do some fast math with the three trainees. Say that at the beginning.
There he is with his math again.
Yes, but I'm curious, Julie, okay, so, you know, you said up to 3. Have you seen, or maybe, you know, have you been doing this long enough to know, okay, when it's just one-on-one with a trainer and a trainee, still in a separate room, how that learning process differs if it's 3-to-1 in a pod in a different room? Have you found that that's a dynamic to pay attention to?
We haven't done too much of the one-on-one in the separate room. We had 4 in a pod at one point, and that was just a little too much, too many moving parts. One of the things that we've done to incentivize our trainers to do this is we pay them the regular training pay, which is 15% per hour. And then on top of that, we're giving them out of class pay because they're essentially supervising a group of people. So they're getting $50 a day on top of their training incentive. But we're asking a lot of them also.
Right. Oh, sure. Sure. So,
Julie's going to engender a lot of conversation. People are going to be like, where's my 50?
How long are they in the pod setting before then they maybe break out? And then do they get one-on-one training on the floor?
Not usually. Sometimes, depending on the circumstance, we may get a second set of ears. A supervisor may monitor them just to make sure that they feel they're ready to be signed off. But they are essentially at the end of their pod training, each answering calls independently. So the trainer is monitoring 3 of them at once. Mm. And, you know, they're there if they need them. They're, you know, we're expecting that our hirees are intelligent enough and critical thinking enough to ask for help when they need it. And
I like it. It's
fantastic. So in the academy, because you are a fire dispatch, you're using protocols, correct?
We use EMD, but not EFD. Yes.
Okay. So how long is that initial academy that you talk about before they do the pod training?
The initial academy is 6 to 8 weeks. And it's sort of, we've had to be a little bit flexible, especially with COVID and people having to take extended time. I mean, it used to be, I can remember when, you know, if you missed a day, people were frowning and unhappy that you didn't, but we've had to roll with that a lot. So,
It is funny because when I was in charge of the Highway Patrol Academy up there, we trained in pods with three or four. I didn't really think about it until you just said it right now. Then I'm thinking, wait a minute, we did do that. But when I was at comm centers, it's one-on-one. And it's like, I could see the value of having trainees sitting together because they could ask questions to each other saying, did they say about these things? Or, you know, I could
they probably
see
feel
that.
More confident in their abilities, I would think.
Yeah. Sure. And it's building that teamwork as well, because you mentioned that, Julie. Yep. And, you know, no slam to anybody's dispatch center out there. Your mileage may vary, but sometimes it is a little bit intimidating to be the new person on the floor surrounded by people who seem to be doing things flawlessly. And now you've got a question. I think that idea of doing the training in a separate environment lets them build their confidence to a point that when they are out on the floor, they've got that foundational knowledge.
I know we used to encourage trainees that were doing one-on-one to go to break and talk to each other, to go Starbucks, talk to each other. So we encourage that, but this is like a constant all day long. They could be doing that kind of bonding experience saying, I can't get this. Do you know how to do these things? And they could feed off each other. Sounds good. I mean, I'm like,
yeah, the number one thing I'm hearing is it's a chance for less stress throughout your shift because you're only in the hot seat a partial amount of the time, but yet you're still continuing to learn and train and digest what other people are doing. I think the idea is absolutely brilliant. People listening to this probably should look at the setup of their dispatch center to see if learning in this sort of style is possible. Really consider doing it at their 911 center. And the whole Indeed conversation that you gave us to is excellent for everybody to listen to. And your ideas are just amazing. So thanks for doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're right. And I was part of some of that, you know, looking at the applications. And really, you are, like Julie said, you're looking at a piece of paper and making this determination. And maybe you've got 200 applications and you're like, oh, well, we can only interview 20. So basing that on nothing, when you've got this technology that's available that can change the way you do things. Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. Definitely something more future stuff again. We talk about AI and
technology,
stuff. Now we got future hiring stuff for the month. Wow. We got Indeed doing it. So, you know.
That's amazing. Wow. So, Julie, congratulations. Hats off to you and your agency for being innovative and truly doing looking at what's not working, and instead of continuing to go down that path saying, hold up, let's do something different. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Thank you. Crazy. And I just want to make it extra clear, I'm not taking credit for anything.
No.
We'll all edit this whole thing saying Julie said she took credit for everything.
Change the patch to say Julie's fire department.
That's right.
But truly amazing.
As the manager, when we first started, you said, I am not the hero, but guess what? You really are. You mentioned earlier the people that put this into place. Those are the heroes, and you guys need to just give yourself a pat on the back because you're thinking outside the box. And we've got new generations coming in. We've got a new way of hiring, a new way of training that is adapting to these people, and that's just phenomenal. The fact that you being at the top are allowing it to happen and are paving the way for it to happen is don't sell yourself short.
And no. a big shout out to her trainers as well that are training three people at a time. I think that's, I think that's what she wants to also make sure they get the shout out.
Absolutely.
Congratulations because that, to everybody in the department for being willing to digest these changes and go with the flow and make them to make your department better. So big shout out to your whole department.
As it's amazing. That's amazing.
Clearly, this is not my comfort zone. I look like I'm on fire, but I am so passionate about my center and what we do there. And I just, this was really important to me.
That's and you awesome. Seem like you're extremely proud of them as well. So, yes. And that shines through.
And definitely so, thanks for reaching out to us. I'm glad you did reach out and say, hey, I want to be on there. So let's talk about how cool we are. So that's good.
Well, and so we're at time, but I want to just kind of go through some of the highlights. So the recruiting process using Indeed, the phone interview that's really standard through that Indeed process, using Critical. I love also the scheduled interview day. Brilliant. Again, because... Yeah. It's incredibly difficult to try to get everybody on the same page, but if you know when it's going to happen, that's awesome. Then the academy, the pod training, fantastic. So Julie, if people want to reach out to you and ask questions,
here we go.
And we can edit this part out if you say no, but you know, is there, if people are like, oh my gosh, I want to know more. Can they reach out to you?
Yes, absolutely. We just had a tour from one of the local police departments who is struggling with their staffing and came and met with our training and operations supervisors. And I'm happy to share the message, if you will.
Was it the highway patrol? Because, you know, of course not.
No. Awesome. Well, that is phenomenal. And I think this is going to be one of those podcasts that people go, hey, you got to listen to this one.
Yeah.
Listen to what this center's doing because.
And not only those people, but Julie's got to listen to it too. Cause you know.
Yeah Julie, you do.
Awesome. So Joe, can you send us off with all of our stats and everything so we can celebrate and know what's going on?
Absolutely. As soon as Julie listens to it, we'll be up to 26,002 people listening to us because we're at 26,001 right now. We're in over 40 different countries. And once she shares it with her agency, we're going to be great. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You can find us on all social media platforms and any one of your podcast platforms as well. So find us on video, on audio, however you want to listen to us. And to be a guest, email wespeakdispatch@gmail.com. And the person that does all the work behind the scenes, Jill, will be in touch with you.
Yay,
Jill.
Yay. So thank you, Julie, for coming on. And we appreciate it. And we look forward to learning more.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Watson Consoles is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.